The phrase all things, it does mean all things. Someone just ran a red light. My new car has been totaled. Thank you, Lord.
Has today been good for you? Have all your wishes and dreams come true? Don't laugh. Sometimes we do have days when everything seems to go right. And then there are other days when real life takes its toll and everything seems to go wrong. Now, we know God is in charge of both types of days, but how do we cope with the bad ones? Welcome to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. Today, we study a very challenging passage of Scripture. It's a difficult truth to grasp, but God put it in the Bible to help you cope with the bad days. So let's listen as Pastor J.D. shares the message, Living with an Attitude of Gratitude.
Would you turn with me in your Bibles this morning to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Look down with me at verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Years ago, when I was about 14 years old, my best friend and I went sailing on the Caloosahatchee River, which runs from Lake Okeechobee in central Florida all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico. A neighbor of his had a small 10-foot boat with a single mast, and we just loved to take that little boat out on the river. It was a blast. This particular day, we were sailing across the river, which happened to be about 2 miles across at this particular place where we were sailing, and a strong storm suddenly came up from nowhere. I mean, the wind was blowing and that rain was just coming down in buckets. We had to take the sail down. What was most frightening was that there was lightning striking all around us, and we realized, hey man, we are a floating lightning rod, because we had that metal mast standing up, and we thought, well, who's going to take the mast down? You know, somehow we could just picture ourselves, the moment we grab a hold of the mast, a bolt of lightning, and two little pieces of bacon floating out in the river there. But every time I think about this story, I'm reminded of the disciples in their little boats with Jesus, you know, when the storms came, and I can just understand their fear. The problem with our little boat is that Jesus was not physically in the boat with us, but I sure was talking to him like he was. You know, my friend and I, we both were just expecting this giant bolt of lightning any moment. I'm praying, oh Lord, save us, Lord, help us, Lord. Oh God, just get us out of this. And I'll give up chewing bubble gum, I'll do anything. I just was desperate before the Lord. Something that I've thought about since my boating incident is this. Though Jesus was not physically in the boat with me spiritually, I'm always with him. Always with him. And we're going to discover that this text this morning, this spiritual principle, is at the very heart of giving thanks in every circumstance in life. The title of this message is Living with an Attitude of Gratitude. First of all, let's look together at Paul's command, and it is a command. Verse 18, in everything give thanks. Why is it that we have to be told to give thanks? Why is it that we are just like our kids? Sometimes you just have to tell your kids, now don't forget to say thank you when someone does something for you. Growing up with my dad, one of the laws of the family was, thou shalt not receive a gift without sending a thank you note. Oh, it was mandatory. And he got it from his dad, my granddad. Oh, he was ruthless about that. I mean, if you got your Christmas present and you didn't send a thank you note, and usually within 2 or 3 weeks, you could say goodbye to Christmas next year. He expected you to send that thank you note. And so that's how it is sometimes with our kids. But really there are very few kids who just have a desire to say thank you. And so we do at times, we have to be told. This is especially true as Christians. James wrote to the church, he said, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. James 1:17. God is constantly giving to us. Even as we were singing this morning, I couldn't help but think, oh, you know, I've received mercy this week. I have received grace this week. I'm walking in the love of God this past week. And I think, you know, all that is a gift from God. Do I deserve it? No. It's his gift to me, but how often do I just come back to him and say, oh, thank you, Lord. You're just so good to me. Every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above. The question is, how do we respond to such a gracious, loving, and giving Heavenly Father? Yes, there are times when we receive something that is so obviously from the Lord and we spontaneously exhibit an attitude of genuine thanksgiving. Sometimes our thanksgiving is when we have been saved from some potentially catastrophic event. I can tell you, when I got to the other side of the river after my little boating incident, nobody had to tell me to turn in my Bible and remind me, you know, to give thanks to the Lord. It was like it was spontaneous. Oh, God, I'm going to keep my promise and I'm not going to chew bubble gum. Whatever I promised, Lord, you know, I was just so thankful. I was like this guy I read about who, he was really a horse lover. He especially loved well-bred, thoroughbred horses. This man, he lived on the East Coast, and one day while he was reading the classifieds in the paper, he saw an advertisement for a beautiful thoroughbred stallion. But the horse happened to be all the way over on the West Coast. So he got in his pickup truck, he pulling his horse trailer, and off he went all the way to Southern California. Well, as it turned out, the horse was owned by a wonderful Christian man, and he had given this horse some very special training. A man from the East Coast just fell in love with that horse. I got to have that horse. Well, he bought the horse. He loaded him up in the horse trailer, and off he went for, where was he from? East Coast, somewhere over there. But before he left, this fine Christian man said, but wait a minute, there is one thing you need to know about this horse. He's been very specially trained, and here's the little instruction booklet that tells you how this horse works. And he's been especially trained to respond to verbal commands. So off he goes to the East Coast. He gets to Nevada. And he just sees this wide open prairie and he thinks, you know, it's time for me to try this horse out. He backs that horse out of the trailer and, you know, he throws the saddle on his back and he gets on and he remembers to put the little instruction book in his pocket. He's ready to ride. And so he gives the horse a little kick in the side, but nothing happens. He kicks even harder, still nothing. Well, he remembers the instruction book, and he pulls the instruction book out, and he begins to read, and sure enough, there on page one, the only way you get this horse to go is to give the command, thank you, Lord. Oh, so he says, thank you, Lord. This is just amazing, and this horse begins to move forward, just a beautiful, smooth gait. On page two, he reads that if you will say, praise the Lord, oh, the horse will go even faster. And so he says, praise the Lord. And the horse breaks into this just a beautiful, gentle lope. Well, he decides he's got to see what this horse can really do. There on page three, it says you need to say hallelujah to get up to full speed. So he says, hallelujah. And I'll tell you, that horse broke into a full-on gallop. He's now racing across the prairie. You know, he's having the time of his life. Till he noticed that up ahead the prairie ends there at a steep cliff and falls off into a deep canyon. So he pulls back on the reins and he's yelling, whoa, whoa, you know, come on, stop, whoa. That horse would not stop for anything. So he lets loose of the reins and he grabs the instruction book out of his pocket and he begins to look, you know, frantically. How do I stop the horse? And there it is, page 7. You have to say John 3:16. Oh, he's panicked now. So he said, John 3:16. And sure enough, that horse came to a screech and halt, slid up there right within just 2 inches of the edge of that cliff. And so he looks up and he said, oh, thank you, Lord. Now that is spontaneous thanksgiving. Some of you are probably going to get this about halfway through the message, and I'll hear a bunch of laughing out there. Oh, I got it. Oh, yes. Thank you, Lord. Over the cliff you went. No parachute. That's not exactly what Paul is writing about here. Paul, he's writing to the church, and he's saying, you know, thanksgiving is not about feelings. We should feel a sense of gratitude, but it's not just about feelings. When we thank the Lord, it's a choice that we make. We must choose to be thankful, and that's why thanksgiving is a command. Now, we do need to pay special attention to what this command is telling us. It could be easily misunderstood. Look with me in the very first word. It's the word in. This word in helps us to understand the context of thanksgiving, and it tells us that whatever the conditions are, whatever conditions we are in, whatever circumstances we are in life, we are to be thankful. And that's the word in. It implies position. We are sitting inside of the church this morning. Later we will be in our cars, but in our circumstances. We are to be thankful in all circumstances in life. That means that giving of thanks is to be an ongoing attitude, and this is what it looks like. We bought a new house. Oh, thank you, Lord. We got a new car. Thank you, Lord. Oh, I met the most amazing person. Thank you, Lord. I just got a promotion at work. Thank you, Lord. We just had a baby. Thank you, Lord. At 2:00 in the morning. Thank you, Lord. Now, how are we doing so far? You say, well, that's no problem. I like to thank God for those good things and so many blessings that we get from the Lord. And you know, it's good that we give thanks for the good things. Is that exactly what Paul means? Well, the phrase all things, it does mean all things. Someone just ran a red light, my new car has been totaled. Thank you, Lord. The person that I love so much, oh, they've been unkind to me. Thank you, Lord. I lost my job this morning. Thank you, Lord. I got the results back from the doctor and it's not good. Thank you, Lord. And what Paul means when he commands in all things, it means all things good, we are to be thankful to the Lord. It means that all things bad, we are to be thankful to the Lord. It means in all things and at all times, we are to have an attitude of gratitude. But notice with me that Paul didn't write to be thankful for all things, but in all things, in the midst of every circumstance, we are to maintain an attitude of thanksgiving. Now, I know that at least some of you may be thinking, well, that's just not possible. You don't know my circumstances. You don't know my situation. I can't be thankful where I'm at right now. I just can't do it. Not possible. You know, the Bible never gives us a command that is impossible. Paul never gave a command that was impossible to keep. Peter never gave a command that was impossible to obey. Jesus never gave a command that was impossible. So what I want you to do is just hold on to that this is impossible thought for a moment, and we will see later how it's done. But for now, I just wanted to focus on the command itself: in all things, give thanks. Live with an attitude of gratitude. That is Paul's command to the church. Now the second part of this verse deals with God's concern. His concern, as far as your life and your spiritual walk goes, you know, God is very concerned about your attitude. You may not think He is. Maybe you think He's not paying attention, but you know, God is concerned about our attitudes. Look at verse 18 again. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. It is God's will for you to be thankful in everything. Now, I'm always interested in the words that are used in the Bible, and I ask myself as I study, why did the Holy Spirit use this particular word, or why did He inspire the writer to use that word? And then sometimes I'll think of other alternative words that could have been used. And what I discovered as I looked at this passage, this word will, it is God's will for you. You know, that's a very strong word, the word will. It means determination. We talk about somebody being strong-willed. It means they are very, very determined. So the word will is much stronger. The writer could have used the word hope. I would hope that in all things you might be thankful. Or, you know, God wants you to be thankful in all things. God really, you know, it's his, you know, he hopes you'll do it. But no, that's not the word. It is the word will. It is God's will. God has determined that you are to be thankful in all things, and it's a very strong word. Now, if God determines something, it means that he has a vested interest in your attitude. God cares about your attitudes. God is concerned about how you go through every circumstance in life, be they good or bad. He is concerned about your attitude when things are good. He is concerned about your attitude when things are bad. You say, well, you know, nothing's good, nothing's bad, and, you know, God's concerned about that too. It says, in all things. Now, why is God so concerned? What does it really matter to the Lord? What does it matter to God? Well, first of all, having an attitude of thanksgiving is just a healthy way to live. It's been proven that thankful people are healthier people. I read an article about the psychology of gratitude, a 2011 article in the New York Times. They pointed out that Thanksgiving has recently become the favorite feast of psychologists studying the consequences of giving thanks. Cultivating an attitude of gratitude has been linked to better health, sounder sleep, less anxiety and depression, higher long-term satisfaction with life, and kinder behavior towards others. We are all God's creation, and I believe God just created us to be thankful and grateful people. And you know, if we're not living thankful lives, there's something missing. There's something wrong. Second, being thankful is necessary for a healthy spiritual life. In fact, if you don't have this attitude of gratitude, it's symptomatic of a deeper underlying spiritual condition. Something is wrong in our spiritual life when we are not thankful. And the Bible points out in the last days, one of the great moral deficiencies will be ungrateful attitudes. Paul wrote to Timothy and he said, you know, in the last days, perilous times will come, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, and unthankful. The great moral deficiency of the end times, unthankful, ungracious people with no gratitude towards the Lord. But there's a third reason why your attitude matters to God. When you are thankful, it is a sign that you are trusting the Lord. Paul wrote to the church at Philippi, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Paul is saying, you know, when you pray, Just pray with an attitude of thanksgiving, because what that means is when you're giving thanks, you're expecting God to respond to you. You're expecting, you are trusting the Lord. You just say, oh God, I believe you. I trust you. So as you pray, you're like, oh, thank you, Lord. It's just like your children. When they come to you and they know that you're going to do something for them, and they might say, oh, thank you, Mom. Thank you, Dad. A fourth reason why your attitude is of a concern to God is because it's another way that we worship the Lord. You know, it just blesses the Lord when we worship Him in thanksgiving. In fact, if you go through the Psalms, you will discover that many of the Psalms of worship are centered upon an attitude of thanksgiving back to the Lord. Psalm 100, verse 4. Enter into His gates with what? Thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Be thankful to the Lord. A fifth reason, because it glorifies God. Psalm 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song, and I will magnify. And that word magnify, it's the same as glorify. I will magnify him. I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. You know, the reverse is true as well. If we fail to give thanks to the Lord, which is due his name, you know, we're really robbing God of what he's deserving of, because he is deserving of thanksgiving. There is a sixth reason why God is concerned. If we have this attitude of gratitude, it demonstrates our willingness to obey God. Remember, thanksgiving is a command. It is the will of God, and thanksgiving is to be rendered to God as an act of obedience. One of the sins of Israel was that they failed to appreciate what God had done for them, and that's why the prophet Jeremiah 5:23, but my people have stubborn and rebellious hearts. They have turned away and they have abandoned me. They do not say from the heart, let us live in awe of the Lord our God, for he gives us rain each spring and fall, assuring us of a harvest when the time is right. You see the problem with the nation of Israel? Oh, they didn't even appreciate God for the very basic elements that provided life, rain, harvest, aplenty, and they just had no appreciation. Why? Because they were rebellious. They had turned away from God. When we are thankful to God, it means that we recognize, it means that we appreciate what God has done for us, and we are to be obedient in our response back to him and to give thanks. And thanksgiving, oh yes, it is the will of God. It concerns God deeply if we are not a thankful people. And God is determined, God has willed, God has strongly desired that we are to respond back to him in thanksgiving. Now earlier, I asked you to put that momentary hold on, well, is this really possible? Can I really have this attitude of gratitude no matter what's going on in life? I mean, things are really desperate right now. I just can't seem to hang on to this idea of giving thanks. Listen, it is possible. We've looked at Paul's command and God's concern. I just want you to look at something else. It is our communion. Our communion in Christ. Our communion with Jesus Christ. And that's what this final section of verse 18 deals with. Look again. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. But it doesn't stop there. It continues, in Christ Jesus for you. In Christ Jesus. This is the same Greek word in that we looked at earlier. And it really is the answer to the is it really possible question. Can I really be thankful in all things in life? And the answer is yes. Why? Because you are in Christ Jesus. And what a difference that makes. You know, I started this message with telling you about my experience of being on a little sailboat when the storm hit. Now, wouldn't you be afraid if you were in a 10-footer and a gigantic storm came up and, you know, there you are, the little floating lightning rod. I think most of us would be, but imagine if you're on a cruise ship.
You have been listening to The Voice of Truth with Pastor J.D. Glasscock of Calvary Chapel, Houston Metro. For a copy of today's message, call 281-499-6301. That's 281-499-6301. And mention today's date, or you can visit our website at calvary.cc. Calvary.cc. Calvary Chapel meets for worship services every Sunday morning at 9:30 at 7711 Brazewood Boulevard in Houston, Texas. We also have a midweek Bible study Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening, and we hope you will join us again for the next broadcast of The Voice of Truth.